This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford. I am in Newcastle upon Tyne on the northeast coast of England. Today is Monday, October the 10th. And this show, we're going to have a little AL wildcard weekend review. And then we're going to preview the upcoming ALDS series for this week. We have a full carriage of hosts today. We will go across. Top right on my screen is the machine, Mr. Moonaf Manji. Moonaf, how are you?
Doing well. Pretty good weekend of baseball. It was a lot of fun to watch it. I'll be honest, I was watching more baseball than football this weekend. But yeah, we're on to the divisional series. So it should be a lot of fun, Malcolm.
It was a fun weekend. We're going to touch on all of that in a little moment. Bottom right, Mr. Noah Benick. Arit.
All right. So what's going on, guys? Pleasure to be back here. But after 5 weeks of the NFL and baseball season, the Tigers were 9-23 and the Lions are 1-5. Both of my pro sports teams are done. That's just Detroit sports for you right there. But it was a tough sports weekend for me, but I enjoyed all of the postseason baseball and was live tweeting college football and MLB. So that was fun. Let's jump into some NLDS handicapping. Why don't we?
It was a hectic weekend. Someone who might not have had the most fun this weekend, but we're not going to dwell on it because this is an AL wildcard, an AL divisional series. It's got nothing to do with the New York Mets. Dylan, how's it? How are you?
I'm doing well, boys. Actually better than you guys might think. We got to look at the positives here. Can't look at the negative. We'll talk about that next pod. But yeah, good to be with you. Got some really good plays, actually, for these two games in the AL.
Excellent. So, like we said, a little review of the wildcard series, but we'll pass this across to Noah to lead us off here because he was the score master for our little draft that we did. So he can take us through how everybody did, and by virtue of that, we can have a little chat about the games, Noah. So what went down?
Yeah, so real quickly, all of us have two teams remaining. So we each had one team eliminated this weekend. Dylan leads with 4 points. He had 2 points from Cleveland in a two-game sweep against the Rays, who he also had, and then Seattle in a two-game sweep over Toronto. Team Moonoff has 3 points. He had 2 points from Philly in a two-game sweep over the Cardinals, and the Mets also won a game, so he has 3 points. Team Noah has 2 points. I had a two-game or two wins from the Padres. Toronto has been eliminated for me, and then Malcolm, you had the Cardinals, didn't win a game, so you have 0 points there. You have the Dodgers and the Yankees remaining. What's everybody thinking? How comfortable are we through the first weekend of the draft?
Yeah, well, I was actually handicapped, did okay with my bets, went 3-1 on the series winners. The Toronto Blue Jays were the only one that let me down, but did okay with the Dogs, which had San Diego at plus 165 to win the series and picked them up at plus money in both the games that they won. We took Cleveland as well. The other team, I can't forget. Philly did well as well at plus money. So that went okay. But Moonaf, how did your bets get on? But did you enjoy the games? There was some crazy stuff going on. I wasn't sure how drunk I was on Saturday. I went to the football on Saturday. Newcastle won. So I had a few more beers. And then I kept checking the score in the Cleveland-Tampa Bay, and it was stayed at nothing for what seemed like about 9 hours. And I thought, there's something wrong here. I've had more beers than I've... that was a bit of a wild one, Moonaf. What went on?
Yeah, Friday, you and I think, locked up the Guardians. that was a winner for us off of that. I think the Jose Ramirez home run, they won that game. And I took the Blue Jays as my dog of that game one. That didn't turn out well. But I think Saturday was a pretty good day for myself. When I took the Mets on the run line and then the under in that 15, was it 15 innings before Gonzalez hit that walk-off home run. So, yeah, it's been pretty good so far. I mean, look, this playoff baseball, it's every single pitch, every single at-bat almost matters. And I think we saw a lot of that in that Rays and the Guardians series. But, yeah, it's been going pretty good so far for me. I know the player props have been doing well for me as well. So hopefully I can continue that into the divisional series. The pitchers have been doing absolutely fantastic, you know, with strikeouts and just going deep into games. I think the Rays and Guardians series was a prime example of that, where runs were definitely at a premium in that game.
And then Dylan, I think you were the only one of us who took the Seattle Mariners here. They jumped out early in game one. They got to Alek Manoah early on, but then game two was an absolute roller coaster. Commiserations to Johnny Junta. He might be feeling worse than you at this point in the week, Dylan. Yeah. He looked like a broken man sitting in his seat when someone had a video camera in his face when they were 9-8 down, I think, at some point on Saturday night. But that Seattle series, especially game two. But yeah, they did really well to come through and win that. Was that Toronto blowing it, Dylan? Or was that just Seattle playing well or getting a bit lucky?
Yeah, I think it was not lucky, I wouldn't say. They chipped away at every inning. They got a run, got two runs, got three runs, and then they found themselves and put them in a prime position to win the game. I feel like I've handicapped the American League pretty well thus far. We won't mention the NL, but yeah, I feel like the Guardians, they've been really good. Shane Bieber, 7-plus strikeouts for me on Friday. That yep. Cash. Tristan McKenzie, he hit his overpropped as well. So the Guardians have been just another great story. But I think the story has to be Seattle. Have a tough task ahead of them with the Astros. But I think if they could pitch and continue hitting, I think they got a chance.
Absolutely. And Noah, you told me you finished one game ahead this weekend, which you'll take all the time.
Yeah, I was. No, I won't. I'm trying not to. I was slightly positive on the week. I had the Guardians in two. That was the lock that I gave out at plus 200. The dog that I gave out for the AL was the Blue Jays in two. Unfortunately, that didn't hit. But I also had the Guardians money line in both games. I took the over Philly St. Louis in both games. First one, we had a lucky cash with the St. Louis collapse.
So lucky.
Yeah. And then the second one never really got close. I had the game one Mets team total under 3, which cashed. I had the game one over 7 plus 105 in the Phillies Cardinals. I already mentioned that cashed. And then yesterday I had Trent Grisham over a hit. That dude has been great. Sorry, I'm going NL. I don't know what I'm doing, but just end it.
That's all right. You can have a little review of your bets before we get into the other stuff as well. Yeah. We're going to I'll tell you what, a little update on MLB TV, and I know no one cares except me, but I told you last week that they blacked everything out for everyone in Europe. They got so many complaints that they then decided that they would undo the blackout, but only for this weekend. And they actually sent them, I got the message saying, we are to give you a chance to make other arrangements. We're going to let you watch the games this weekend. I mean, what a fucking cheek. Like, I paid for the thing. We paid, like, to give me the chance to make other arrangements. Like, what? Like, absolutely appalling. So they turned it off Friday. They then put it back on Saturday and Sunday, so people were able to watch the Saturday and Sunday games. As it turns out, there was only one Sunday game. So they gave us those 5 games, effectively. And now they've turned it off again because we've had time to make other arrangements. That's even more insulting. I think they should have just ignored us at that point rather than engaging and making an even worse decision. So that was that. We're going to get into these AL divisional series. We've got Seattle at Houston and Cleveland at the New York Yankees. The lines that we'll be taking tonight will be coming from WinBet, our headline sponsor here. The perfect time to join is now. New customers who bet $100 will get $100 as a free bet. The casino is open 24 hours daily, 100% deposit bonus there. up to a grand. And the WinBet biggest winners club, whoever hits the biggest parlay on WinBet odds-wise, gets a $1,000 free bet. Last week, someone turned $6 into $4,000 and they got their $1,000 free bet. WinBet is duty for hashtag DGens only. Loads to choose from. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet is the place to get to. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet. Today, offers subject to change. T's and C's at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where pay through WinBet is available. If you were someone who has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Okay, we will start with the Seattle Mariners at the Houston Astros. For the series, Seattle are plus 200 underdogs. Houston are minus 159. Most of these series, we've got confirmed pitchers for game one and then speculative pitchers for games two, three and onward from that. Game one here, I've got Logan Gilbert going for the Seattle Mariners at plus 180. The Houston Astros have Justin Verlander at minus 155. Total here is set at 6.5. So it's a hometown Houston Astros. We let Moon feed us off. You're on mute.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what a wasic.
Looking back, obviously these two teams are both in the AL West division, so they matched up 17 times this season. The Astros won the season series, let's see here, 19 times this season. Astros won that series 12-7. They were 8-2 at home against the Mariners this season. So I think we're kind of looking at this series, you know, even coming into the playoffs, we talked about this with Johnny when we did the AL wildcard preview, was that I felt like that Seattle was pretty much playing with house money because a lot of people or the casual bettors or fans probably didn't expect them to be even in the playoffs. And, you know, we talked a lot about the roster moves that they made from offseason to, you know, the trade deadline, even where they picked up Castillo, who pitched an absolutely phenomenal game one for them. These two teams are familiar with each other, right? There's no question about that. Like I mentioned, Astros are 8-2 at home against the Mariners this season. So I do like the – because of the experience that the Astros have over the past 5 years being in the playoffs and, you know, being in the – at least a championship series over the past five straight years, I just feel like the Astros, at least in this series – and I know we'll get to game one here in a second. I feel like at least for the series that the Astros, that experience that they do have, it's going to – I think might be a little overwhelming for the Seattle Mariners. And we talked about also the Astros when we did the draft is that they lost a lot of key guys. We talked about Garrett Cole that they lost, George Springer, Carlos Correa, but they still have guys in this lineup that just step up and just play well when it comes to playoff time. And I just think that this is going to be a series where that experience is just going to be too much for the Mariners in this series. So I like the Astros to win it.
So you've got the Astros to win the series. Have you got any picks in terms of scoreline games or any game one stuff?
So for at least for the series, if there is Astros in four games, I know this is the best of five here in the divisional series. I would probably look at that Astros in four.
That's at plus 250.
Okay. Yeah. So give me that. Give me the Astros in four games to win this series. Do you want to get everybody else's thoughts for the series and then get into game one, Malcolm, or you want to meet against a game one handicap?
You crack on, mate. You give us everything you've got and we'll go that way.
Okay. So at least for game one, Justin Verlander is going to be the starter for the Houston Astros. He's already faced the Mariners six times this season, 5-1 record. He's also 5-1 on the run line when he's pitched against the Mariners, 2.34 ERA, 43 strikeouts, six walks, and he's gone at least six innings in all six games, and he's gone seven or more innings in four of the six games that he faced the Mariners this season. And the Astros also scored at least four runs in three of the four home starts Verlander had this season against the Mariners, and they won all three games by at least two runs in those games. Meanwhile, Logan Gilbert, he's been pretty good against the Astros this season as well. 2-1 with a 2.52 ERA. He's also gone. He's had four appearances against the Astros this season. He's gone at least six innings in all four of those appearances. Overall in the season, Logan Gilbert only had one road loss this season, and that was against the Astros in Minute Maid Park. And only one start produced more than six runs with the Astros when he's faced the Astros. So I like the Astros in game one, especially with the season that Justin Verlander is having. I think that they're rested. They just play so good at Minute Maid Park at home, especially during the playoffs. I'm going to go Justin Verlander on the run line here. And if that Astros team total is at 3.5, I'm going to take the over on that as well.
Okay, so all different ways of packaging up the Houston Astros from Moon Af Noah. Same question, series and game one.
All right, so for the series, I want to start with the Seattle Mariners because I was completely wrong about this Mariners team. I had Toronto winning in two, and shut me up real quick. I do have to say the comeback was amazing. I was live tweeting it from our account, but I came away with the series thinking that the Blue Jays, they kind of lost it more than the Mariners had won it. Yes, if Luis Castillo shoved in game one, and if he does that again against the Astros, they will win a game. Andrés Muñoz was impressive in both games, and George Kirby has a set downstairs. If he's coming in and getting a postseason save in his first career relief appearance, Paul Sewald's struggles are flying under the radar for me, in my opinion. Since September 1st, the Mariner with the most saves on this team has an ERA of 6.55, and another big question mark for me comes from the offense. Julio Rodriguez, Ty France, and Mitch Haniger had a combined 5-for-26 in the Blue Jays series, and those are who I think of when I think of the biggest contributors to this offense's success. Manoah cracked in the big moment, and in Game 2, the Mariners exposed a weak Blue Jays bullpen. We all knew that Mariners bullpen or the Blue Jays bullpen was not going to live up to that. I just thought that the Blue Jays would be able to out hit the Mariners, and that had happened until late in the game when really it was a Bermuda Triangle ball from J.P. Crawford that had fell in. George Springer gets hurt, and then the air just got deflated from the Rogers Center, and you see Johnny slouched in the chair. Now, for the Houston Astros, like I said in our draft episode, Trey Mancini, Chaz McCormick, Mauricio Dubon, and Aledmys Diaz, one of those guys needs to step up and replace Michael Brantley's production at the plate from the outfield position. If that happens, the Astros are in prime position to emerge from the American League due to their pitching staff. I assume like the playoff rotation is going to be Verlander here in game one, Valdez, McCullers, and you have Javier, Urquidy, Garcia, Hunter Brown. They're all ready to step up and start a game or go in long relief. Not to mention inside the arm barn, you have Ryan Pressly, Rafael Montero, and a save share. And then Will Smith is a leverage situation lefty who had an amazing postseason in 2021 with the world champion Braves. All four wildcard series were won by that team in the regular season. Houston is 12-7 against Seattle, like Munoz mentioned. They've won 6 of the last 7 games against the Mariners. Add in the amount of playoff experience that this team has with 5 straight ALCS appearances, I've got Houston moving on, and I'll say in 4 games, like Munoz mentioned. Fun fact about that stat, too, is all 4 wild card winners had won the regular season series as well. So my play or lock early on is Justin Verlander's strikeout prop is 5.5 right now. He cashed that in 4 of his 6 games against the Seattle Mariners and then 4 of his last 5 starts.
That was a good start, Noah. Not that we weren't listening to you, but the chat is awash with talk of Malcolm the Dog, as well it should be. Some of the gang are in there, Jong Lee and Captain Sano, aye, Captain. But no, I like that stat. So we've got a second vote for Houston in 4 there. Dylan, take it away, Seattle at Houston.
Yeah, so a couple things to address. Name not leaning that way, Malcolm, sorry.
Minus 110, we've seen the odds.
And Munoz, the team total is at 3.5. It's a little juice to minus 130, but I do agree with the play as well with the team total. As for the series real quick, I really liked what I saw from the Mariners team. I agree completely with Noah and Munoz, where I think the experience factor is going to come in big here. You just got first ballot Hall of Famers on the Astro team where it's just at a certain point, it's going to level its head. And this Mariner team, it's a great story. I was high on them. I thought it was a good series win against the Blue Jays, but you know, they've met their match. It's like Thanos, you know, so you're going into Minute Maid Park. I don't think it's going to end well, but I do think they could steal a game. It, like Noah said, I think if Luis Castillo, I think Robbie Ray in the bullpen, not Robbie Ray, excuse me, the closer, get George Kirby. I thought he was perfect for the closing spot for the Mariners. I think they had, and they played defensively sound. They didn't make a single error in the series. So I think if they can play clean baseball and just steal maybe one or two, make things tougher for Astros, then I think they could be live, but I don't think they could do it. I like Astros in four at +250 as well with the boys. But you want me to get into my game one predictions as well?
Why not? Go for it.
All right. Yeah. So like you guys said, Verlander and Gilbert are going here, and I'm gonna attack the total. 6.5 under at +102. I made my line 6.2. I think Justin Verlander, he was kind of built for the postseason. Last year, he didn't really pitch his best, but I think the way he's been dealing this season, Cy Young candidate, he'll be ready to go against this Mariner club. He's faced them six times this year. He's 5-1, 2.34 ERA. He's only allowed 11 runs in 42 innings, and the Mariners are only hitting .210 off of him. I think if he's able to keep the walks down, he does walk a lot of batters against the Mariners, but if he's able to keep them down, I don't see this Mariner club scoring that many runs. Now with Logan Gilbert, he's been great coming into the postseason. He's only allowed more than one run one time in the month of September. So I think getting Gilbert on the road where he's pitched better on the road than at home. He's faced Astros four times this season, and three of those four games went under the number. He's only allowed more than two runs one time in those four starts. So I think he does. He had some success, and granted that was the regular season, but I think that could carry on here into the postseason. I think both pitchers are prime, locked in, and we usually don't see too many overs in these pitching matchups. So let's hope for another pitching showdown at plus money. Give me the under 6.5.
Real quick, Justin Verlander at TJ last year, 2019 was his below average postseason year.
Yeah, 2019.
Technically, tomorrow is an anniversary. I believe it's 9 years to the day of his 9-inning shutout against the Oakland A's for the Tigers in 2013. So tomorrow's date has been very nice to him.
Okay, so I won't repeat everything that everyone said here for my handicap. First up, I think you can't go against Verlander in game one. And it looks like that classic unit and a half play that we often talk about, -155 on JV, looks like reasonable price to me. Johnny Junta pointed out on Friday night, Thursday night, sorry, just how good Jose Altuve had been. I mean, he'd been under the radar, outstanding this season. And I think Jordan Alvarez will benefit from that little bit of rest that he's had. And we know he's had to take days off with his hand problem. The only different pick I've got to you three boys is that I've got Houston sweeping this. I'm fading Castillo. He did deal last week and this weekend in the wild card game, but he's got his road form hasn't been very good. He's got one decent road start kind of in recent memory, one regular season one before that game that he pitched last week in Toronto. So I'm fading him for game two. And then if they put Robbie Ray on the mound in game three, he looks cooked to me. He looks absolutely done. Houston can put Keady or I think it's going to be Urquidy, possibly Javier. But I think that's it for me. Verlander wins game one. Castillo looks vulnerable and Ray looks cooked. So all of those things together. So I've got Houston 3-0 at +325. As well as Houston to win the series at -159 would be another unit and a half play there. So that's the way I was attacking that one. So just a little difference. You three boys have all got three games to one for Houston, and I'll take 3-0. But yeah, team ride. Everyone was on the Houston Astros. I mean, we were wrong last week. Dylan was the only one who picked the Mariners, so maybe the plucky underdog can keep it going. We move on to Cleveland. Go on then, have the trumpets. just to annoy Moon off, we'll have the trumpets.
Sorry, Malcolm, one more player prop for the Astros game. If you do see an outs issued of 17.5 for Justin Verlander, I'll take the over on that, as well as the strikeouts for this game as well.
Okay. We did well on the K props this season, I feel. Guardians at Yankees to come, after I've told you firstly about Fubo TV. If you watch football, if you're allowed to watch football, like I'm not allowed to watch baseball, you need Fubo TV. Complete coverage of college and pro football, NFL Red Zone games in 4K, no extra charge. all your devices, and you don't have to miss anything with your cloud-based DVR. No contract, no commitment. Cancel at any time. Try Fubo TV free for 7 days. Get 15% off your first month. Go to FuboTV.com/SGP. That's FuboTV.com/SGP. And Odds Trader, a place where A, you will be able to compare all the odds from major sportsbooks, and B, get the different sign-up codes and promotions from those sportsbooks. You get the best value for money. Once you've done that, you'll get features like play-by-play updates, live scores, player stats, key game stats, game day weather, the all-important bet tracker as well, which is crucial to knowing where you stand with your degen activities. The place to find all of that is oddstrader.com/bluewire. OddsTrader is the number one site for all of your game day bets. Okay, Cleveland Guardians at the New York Yankees. Everyone's favourite underdog, the Cleveland Guardians, and everyone's favourite pantomime villain, the New York Yankees, will go head-to-head here. So we'll go reverse order. We'll send this one back to Dylan.
All right. So I got it right with the Guardians here. And I think they're live again here in this series. Like I said in earlier pods, I just don't trust the Yankees right now, especially Gerrit Cole going in game one. Honestly, their whole pitching staff. You heard Chapman, he's not on the roster for the postseason. I don't know what it was. He missed a meeting or something. But regardless, I don't like the way this Yankee team has been playing. And this Guardian team, I think they've circled this coming back to the Bronx, because we heard about what happened a few months ago when the fans got involved in the Bronx in the outfield. So I think that this is their first time coming back to the Bronx. So I'm excited to see what happens. As for the series bet, the AL series, I'm looking at the odds right now. I like the Guardians to win 3-1 at +480. I just think maybe the Yankees win one at home, but going back to Cleveland, does it go back to Cleveland, Noah? All right. So I think they take care of business in Cleveland. But for game one, I'm going to take the home puppy, +190 Guardians. No surprise here, Malcolm. You probably know why. I honestly can't wait to watch this series. Like I said, it's going to be the first time the Guardians are back. I think they've had this game circled. I think they're playing really confident. They're playing really well. They're playing sound baseball, and I think they're doing it with their pitching. I only made the Yankees a -160 favorite here in game one with Gerrit Cole. It's the Yankees. They're going to be overpriced in every game, I think. And I think if we're selective in the game, we could take advantage of the inflated prices. But as for Gerrit Cole, he hasn't looked that good in the month of September. He's allowed 3 or more runs in 4 of the 5 games in the month. So not the best time trying to find it, I think. And as for my boy Cal Quantrill, he's been lights out, as you guys know, perfect at home. But on the road in his last 4 starts, he's only allowed 2 runs in 25 innings. And that was against the Padres, the Blue Jays, the Rangers, and the Twins. So he's doing it against pretty good teams that can score runs. So I think this number is way too big for the Yankees, especially the way Cole has been pitching. I don't think he should be that big of a favorite against a guy like Cal Quantrill, who's been better than him for half the season. So give me the dog, Guardians +190.
Yeah, I probably should have given the numbers at the top of the introduction there. For the series, Cleveland are +200, the Yankees -159, and game one, Cleveland +180. Dylan's got them at +190, so roundabout there. New York Yankees -155 behind Gerrit Cole, and a total set at 7. Noah, so do the Guardians keep rolling then? Dylan thinks so.
I think so, too. And there's interesting line movement here. The Yankees price has easily come down 100 points since last night when it opened up. I don't think that us four, including Johnny, could have handicapped that Guardian series any better. It was a team ride, and we all called that. And then I even called for home runs from Jose Ramirez and Oscar Gonzalez. So, I mean, that's how they won those games. I saw pretty much exactly what I thought I'd see from this Guardians team in the wild card series. Great pitching, great defense. And I will say, to beat the Yankees in a 5-game series, Cleveland is going to need more timely hitting and less strikeouts. For a team that had the least amount of strikeouts in the MLB, 26 walks back to the dugout in 24 innings is way too many for a brand of baseball. For this kind of brand of baseball to beat a team that hits bombs like the Yankees. Another thing that flew under the radar for the Guardians this series was Andrés Giménez had a golden sombrero in game two with five strikeouts. He was 0-for-5. That just cannot happen. But this bullpen was phenomenal. Emmanuel Clase grabbed a four-out save in game one. He bounced back for a 1-2-3 ninth inning in game two. James Karinchak, Trevor Steven, and Sam Hedges were amazing in game two. There are layers to this bullpen that the Yankees just cannot match with their own bullpen. But in September, this struggling Yankees team rebounded with a 20-10 record. And if you shrink that trend even more, they're 11-3 in their last 14 games of the regular season. The batting lineup is a huge part of that. Since the All-Star break, the Yankees had the 13th best team OPS at 698. But since September 1st, they have the fourth best team OPS at 760, and that's because they've gotten even healthier. And that lineup doesn't look as bare bones as it once was. The lineup now projects to be Judge, Rizzo, Glaber, Donaldson, Stanton, Oswaldo Cabrera, Harrison Bader, IKF, and Jose Trevino, with DJ LeMahieu, Carpenter, and Marwin Gonzalez all healthy and coming off the bench. Another big X factor is that Nestor Cortez Jr. is back. He was an all-star in the first half of the season, injured in the second half, but he is a clear second-best starting pitcher on this team. And if Luis Severino can build off of his almost no-hitter in his last appearance in the regular season, that is a great third postseason starter. The only question I have for this Yankees team is Clay Holmes. He's coming off of that right shoulder strain. A lot of pressure is going to be placed on Jonathan Loaisiga and their MLB trade deadline acquisition, Lou Trevino. And that's ultimately why I leaned Guardians to win this series, as they have guys with solidified roles in the bullpen who have proven it, and they have momentum already in this postseason. So this is my upset pick for the divisional series in the AL side. I like the Guardians to win. Honestly, I could see this one being in three. I think the Guardians are a team that, like, they won't strike out, and their pitching is going to get a ton of strikeouts against this Yankees lineup. I look at these two teams and I see the Guardians playing with a lot more passion and heart than the Yankees do if they get down early. I really like the Guardians in three with a sweep. So I'm trying to find.
That's a plus 800.
Plus 800. I'm honestly a huge dog. I like it. But give me, for my one play, I'm going to take the Guardians money line here at plus 175 in game one against Gerrit Cole in the big moment. I need to see it from him. He needs to prove it to me in the postseason. He just hasn't so far. So, Munoz or Malcolm, you can go ahead and take it away.
I think, no, firstly, what you said about us handicapping that series, the Cleveland series, and we do deserve a little pat on the back, because I think all five of us four and Johnny absolutely pinned sort of every step of that series. I'm actually seeing on my local book, I've just dragged up in front of me now, a little bit of line movement here. The Cleveland have been nipped into plus 180 from plus 200, and the Yankees have drifted.
I'm telling you, I looked at that price last night. The Yankees were 100 points greater.
So there you go. So Moonaf, is that line movement justified then? Is the line movement because you like Cleveland?
The one thing that does concern me about the Guardians is that, are they going to be able to score enough runs for them to win the series? Because in what, 24, 25 innings in the Rays series, or the two games, they only scored three total runs in that in those two games. And we know what this offense of the Yankees is capable of, right? During the season, Yankees won the season series 5-1. And Guardians didn't score more than four runs against the Yankees in any of those games. And for the six games that they faced off in during the season, Guardians scored two or less runs versus the Yankees in those games. The Yankees also covered the run line in four out of those five games versus four out of the six games versus the Guardians, where they won by at least, I think it was, I know they won by 2+, so there was a couple blowouts in there as well. So it's going to come down to the bats. I mean, Noah mentioned it, right? You had a lot of guys that struck out against the Rays in that two game wild card series. The Yankees are prone to striking out as well, but I think I do trust their bats a little more in this series. And for me, like, scoring 1, 2, 3 runs is not going to be enough for this Guardian squad against this Yankees team. I can easily see this series getting to 5 games. And Gerrit Cole has been pretty good this season against the Cleveland Guardians, where he was Let's see, I had it here in front of me. Yeah, he went 12 and two thirds innings pitched in two starts this season, went at least six innings in both of those starts. He had a 1.42 ERA, 15 total strikeouts. I think he only had two walks in that in those two games against the Guardians. Now, the concern is that Gerrit Cole is only 5-5 on the year at Yankee Stadium with a 3.20 ERA. But, you know, I've seen this guy pitch, at least when he was with the Astros, he was dominant in that World Series run that they did have. I'm gonna give them game one here. I think the Yankees can pull it off. I would, if anything, I'm not laying that heavy juice. I'd probably take a look at the run line for the Yankees in game one, but I can easily see this series going five games. I think the bats obviously are gonna be a difference in this game. I think the Yankees pull this off in five.
Okay, so I'm gonna use your Yankees in to win game one as part of my handicap, Pierre Munaf. My actual pick for game one is the over. It's the first total. I haven't got many totals in the playoffs so far. I just think Cole is slightly vulnerable. He's given up 2, 3, 4, 4, and 4 in his last five starts. Cal Quantrill gives slightly more runs on the road than he does at home. Gave up 3 in his only start against the Yankees this season. The wildcard series was really cagey. Cleveland will have to score some runs. But we know the New York Yankees are capable of scoring as fast as well. So I'm going to take a bit of a punt on the over 7 there. But I do think that the Yankees will win game one. So I've got a couple of picks here. I think Cleveland can win either game two or game three, or possibly game two and game three. It looks like Bieber v. Cortes and then McKenzie versus Severino. So either way, I've got the series finishing in four games at plus 170. Regardless of who wins. And then a little something that I picked up was Cleveland to win from behind at plus 450. So Yankees take game one with Gerrit Cole. And then I think Cleveland, little pizza bet there, plus 450. I think I've got a chance of getting in front. So I'll take Yankees game one with an over 7. I will take the series to finish in 4 at plus 170. And I'll take Cleveland for a comeback win to go behind and then win the series at plus 450. A little bit more. Who's in the chat there? I've seen Lane's been in the chat. Rick's in the chat as well. So good to see a few people joining. Just trying to have a look at Rick's comments there in the chat. He said the Yankees rather piss away the series or take advantage of the start and pitch in game one and game two and sneak out a win. So yeah, that is the end of our ALDS preview, everybody. Thanks. Rick and Lane and Jong and Insano and everyone who was in the chat. Well done, particularly Noah, for keeping it down to under 9 hours. Impressive stuff. Because we are going to return ever so shortly with an NLDS preview as well. So thanks, everyone, for joining in. Thanks for your contributions and picks. Good luck if you're having a go on this ALDS series. And until then, we will see you down the road. Cheers.